Introduction. This lecture provides a comprehensive overview of electrical and clinical safety principles essential for practitioners using biofeedback and neurofeedback technologies. We will explore the basic physical concepts underlying biofeedback instrumentation, focusing on atomic and electrical principles that make the acquisition and interpretation of physiological data possible. The lecture will cover basic terms and metrics, the construction and behavior of electric circuits, and the operation of alternating and direct currents. Emphasis will be placed on practical topics such as impedance, voltage, conductance, and power, along with safety mechanisms including ground fault interrupts and optical isolation. Understanding these concepts is vital to ensure client safety, maintain equipment integrity, and achieve accurate recordings. Practical examples will demonstrate how to apply each concept in real-world clinical environments, such as ensuring optimal sensor placement, identifying and mitigating artifact sources, and recognizing potentially hazardous electrical conditions. This knowledge will empower clinicians to enhance therapeutic outcomes, prevent misdiagnosis, and improve their confidence in managing biofeedback instrumentation. Electrical clinical safety. Electricity is fundamental to all forms of biofeedback. The biological signals detected during sessions such as EEG, EMG, and EDA are ionic in nature streams of charged particles flowing through biological tissues. Instruments powered by batteries or mains, electricity, transform these signals into readable data by converting ionic current into electronic current. Practitioners must be vigilant about safety, as misuse or equipment malfunction can result in inaccurate data or client harm. For example, a poorly shielded cable might pick up ambient 60 Hz line noise, producing false signals that mislead a clinician into setting inappropriate training thresholds. An understanding of electrical circuits, resistance, and proper electrode application is necessary to prevent issues such as misread signals or shock hazards. Electrodes should be applied to clean, abraded skin to reduce impedance and allow for proper signal transduction. Regular equipment inspection and maintenance, including checking for frayed wires, proper grounding, and adherence to manufacturer specifications, are essential for ensuring safe and effective operation. If not properly managed, ground loops can introduce dangerous voltage differences that pose serious risks to clients. Training and certification, such as the BCIA credential, ensure that practitioners possess a foundational knowledge of electrical safety and know how to apply it under a range of conditions. This foundation ensures accurate diagnosis, meaningful biofeedback training, and reliable monitoring. Basic terms and metrics. In clinical electrophysiology, precision begins with clear definitions. Matter, which includes all substances in the universe, is composed of atoms, units made of protons, neutrons, and electrons. Atoms of a given element, like carbon or sodium, differ in their number of protons, defining their identity and atomic number. For example, carbon always has 6 protons, while sodium has 11. Atoms can lose or gain electrons to become ions, which are the basis for biological signals. Sodium ions and potassium ions are especially important in generating the resting and action potentials of neurons, while chloride ions contribute to inhibitory signaling. Understanding atomic structure is crucial because ions such as sodium, potassium, and chloride generate the voltage gradients measured by biofeedback devices. These voltages are extremely small, often measured in microvolts, and require careful amplification and filtering to distinguish them from electrical noise. Clinicians should be familiar with basic metrics like charge, measured in coulombs, current, amperes, and voltage, volts, as they relate directly to the operation of biofeedback systems. Knowledge of these terms also supports troubleshooting when signal quality is degraded, for instance, by a high-resistance skin electrode interface or a loose sensor cable. A strong grasp of these fundamental concepts lays the groundwork for understanding more complex processes such as differential amplification and frequency-specific feedback training. In clinical settings, familiarity with these metrics also enables meaningful collaboration with biomedical engineers and system developers. For example, clinicians trained in biofeedback should be able to explain anomalies in signal quality using appropriate terminology and recommend adjustments to instrumentation based on their understanding of underlying principles. Furthermore, these metrics are essential for interpreting specifications in device manuals, selecting appropriate equipment for various protocols, and understanding regulatory requirements for safety and efficacy. From initial setup to data interpretation and troubleshooting, these terms serve as the technical vocabulary of the field, bridging the gap between clinical practice and applied electronics. Building blocks of matter. Atoms are the fundamental units of matter, comprising a nucleus of protons and neutrons surrounded by electrons. Each element on the periodic table is defined by the number of protons in its nucleus, which is known as the atomic number. While protons have a positive charge and neutrons are electrically neutral, electrons carry a negative charge and orbit the nucleus in defined energy levels. The number of neutrons can vary among atoms of the same element, producing isotopes. Electrons occupy various energy shells around the nucleus, and their arrangement determines the atom's chemical properties and ability to form ions. The balance between the number of protons and electrons typically makes atoms electrically neutral. However, in physiological processes, atoms often gain or lose electrons and become ions, carrying either a positive or negative charge. These ions are central to bioelectrical activity in the human body. For instance, the movement of Na+, K+, Ca2+, and seal across cellular membranes establishes the membrane potential, initiates action potentials in neurons, and sustains muscle contractions. These ionic currents are the very source of the signals detected in EEG, EMG, and EDA. Understanding how atoms become ions and participate in biological signaling is essential to interpreting the data from biofeedback systems. For example, the sodium-potassium pump actively maintains the concentration gradient required for nerve impulses, and any disturbance in this ionic balance due to pathology or artifact can distort signal recordings. This underscores the importance of comprehending atomic and subatomic behavior in a clinical context. Moreover, external factors like electrolyte imbalances, medications, or dehydration can alter ion availability and conductivity, directly influencing signal quality. Knowledge of atomic structure and ion dynamics informs clinical decision-making and interpretation of complex signal data. Clinicians trained in these fundamentals are better equipped to recognize the physiological basis of signals and to identify when aberrations may reflect biological dysfunction versus equipment error. Electric current. Electric current refers to the flow of electric charge, and in practical circuits, this typically means the movement of electrons through a conductor such as a wire. In biological systems, however, current takes the form of ionic motion, where ions, such as Na+, K+, and Cl, migrate through intercellular and extracellular fluid. The measure of current is the ampere, Ma, and 1 ampere is defined as 1 coulomb, passing a point per second. Current is driven by a voltage difference, also known as electromotive force, between two points. In clinical biofeedback applications, current plays a central role in data acquisition and interpretation. For example, a change in skin conductance during stress increases ionic mobility and enhances current flow, which can be tracked in real time to assess emotional arousal. Understanding the dynamics of current is crucial when designing or using electrodes and amplifiers. For instance, poor skin preparation can result in high resistance and reduced current flow, leading to low-quality signals. Clinicians should be able to recognize when the current flow is too low or too high, and know how to adjust system parameters or reapply sensors accordingly. Moreover, understanding current behavior allows practitioners to interpret signal anomalies and distinguish between physiological changes and hardware malfunctions. For example, if the current suddenly drops to zero, this could indicate an open circuit due to a disconnected electrode. On the other hand, unusually high current could suggest a short circuit or inappropriate gain setting in the amplifier. Equipment design also relies on current considerations. Differential amplifiers, for example, are engineered to amplify the difference between two currents, usually from an active and reference electrode, while rejecting common mode noise. A thorough knowledge of how current is generated, measured, and regulated enables clinicians to use their equipment more effectively and safely. Lastly, understanding how current interacts with tissue is critical for ensuring patient safety. Although biofeedback systems typically operate at extremely low current levels, accidental exposure to higher currents due to equipment failure can pose risks. Therefore, clinicians must appreciate not just the theoretical aspects of current, but also its practical implications in real-world therapeutic contexts. Conductors and insulators. Conductors and insulators are fundamental concepts in electrical theory and have direct application in clinical biofeedback. Conductors are materials that allow the easy movement of electrons. They form the basis of all wiring in biofeedback systems. Metals such as copper, gold, and silver are excellent conductors due to the availability of free electrons in their outer energy shells. These materials are used in sensor leads, electrode cups, and circuitry within amplifiers to ensure minimal resistance and accurate signal transmission. In contrast, insulators are materials that resist electron movement. Substances such as rubber, plastic, and the keratin in human skin serve as natural barriers to current flow. In biofeedback applications, understanding the difference between these two materials is crucial for both signal acquisition and patient safety. For example, an electrode must make direct contact with a conductive medium, usually prepared skin coated with conductive gel in order to capture physiological signals accurately. The gel lowers skin resistance and facilitates the conversion of ionic to electronic current. Without this, the skin acts as an insulator, attenuating the signal or introducing noise. This principle is particularly relevant in surface EMG or EEG recordings, where signal amplitude may already be in the microvolt range. Poor contact due to dry electrodes or unprepared skin can significantly compromise data quality. Conductors not only include wires, but also extend to the sensor hardware itself. Silver-silver chloride electrodes are commonly used because they maintain stable ionic-electronic conversion and minimize polarization artifacts during recordings. Insulators play an equally important role by ensuring user safety and isolating signals. The plastic coating on electrode wires prevents accidental contact with conducting surfaces, which could result in electrical artifacts or, in extreme cases, a current leak that poses a safety hazard. In environments with high humidity or sweat-prone clients, even small cracks in insulation can allow moisture ingress, changing the electrical characteristics of the cable and introducing noise. Therefore, clinicians must regularly inspect cables and connectors for wear and tear. Furthermore, biological tissues act as a combination of conductors and insulators. The dermis and interstitial fluids are relatively conductive, allowing ion flow that is critical for volume conduction in EEG. Conversely, the stratum corneum, the outermost layer of skin, is a significant insulator and must be abraded or bypassed to improve electrode contact. Inaccurate application of electrodes over high-resistance tissue can result in impedance mismatch, leading to distorted signals or ineffective feedback. Understanding these principles aids in the clinical interpretation of signal irregularities. If a channel shows flatline activity, the cause might not be the absence of physiological signal, but rather poor conduction due to an unconnected or ungrounded electrode. Similarly, intermittent noise in the signal could be caused by insulation failure, such as exposed wire touching a metallic surface or the client's skin. These real-world scenarios underscore the importance of distinguishing conductive from insulating components in both biological systems and hardware design. Finally, conductors and insulators form the physical infrastructure upon which safety systems like optical isolation and shielding are based. Shielded cables use conductive mesh to absorb ambient electromagnetic interference, while insulating layers prevent crosstalk between channels. Clinicians must be aware that damage to these components not only affects signal integrity, but also compromises safety features built into the system. Comprehensive training should include hands-on demonstrations of these effects, encouraging vigilance and preventive maintenance to ensure long-term reliability and effectiveness of biofeedback instrumentation. Measuring current. Measuring electric current is essential for understanding how electrical systems operate in both engineering and clinical settings. Current, quantified in amperes, A, represents the rate at which electric charge flows past a given point in a conductor. 1 ampere equals 1 coulomb of charge passing a specific point per second. In biofeedback instrumentation, the currents involved are typically in the microampere or nanoampere range, due to the low voltage and low power characteristics of biological signals. Because of this, accurate measurement requires highly sensitive equipment, well-calibrated amplifiers, and minimal noise interference. There are two main types of current relevant to biofeedback systems: direct current, DC, and alternating current, AC. DC is unidirectional and is found in skin conductance signals and the battery power used in portable systems. AC is bidirectional and appears in EEG and EMG signals. Instruments often use conversion circuits to extract the necessary metrics from these signals. For example, the root mean square RMS value of an EMG signal is used to determine average muscle activation over time. These calculations rely on precise current measurement to ensure valid biofeedback interventions. Measuring current in clinical biofeedback settings is not typically done with standalone ammeters, but through indirect means within the amplifier circuits. Differential amplifiers in EEG systems measure voltage differences between electrode sites, which are then converted into digital signals. The amount of current implied by these differences is determined by internal impedance values and signal gain settings. Clinicians must understand how changes in impedance, whether due to poor electrode contact or excessive skin resistance, can influence current flow and consequently signal accuracy. For instance, reduced current due to dry skin can make an EEG appear flat or noisy. Understanding current is also essential when evaluating the safety of electrical stimulation or feedback devices. Although most biofeedback systems are passive and do not inject current into the body, some systems, such as transcranial direct current stimulation, TDCS, or galvanic skin response, GSR biofeedback, involve small current flows. These must be carefully measured and regulated to avoid discomfort or harm. Even a few milliamperes of current can cause physiological effects, such as tingling or muscle contractions, depending on the placement and duration of application. Clinicians must also be able to interpret current flow in troubleshooting scenarios. For example, if a signal suddenly drops out, it may be due to an open circuit caused by a disconnected lead. Measuring current, or more accurately, noticing the absence of it, helps identify breaks or faults in the system. Conversely, a sudden spike in current might suggest a short circuit or accidental grounding. Built-in diagnostics in modern systems often provide readouts or warning indicators for current anomalies, but understanding the principles behind them allows for faster, more accurate response. Ultimately, current measurement, whether direct or inferred, informs the validity and reliability of the biofeedback data. Practitioners who understand the principles of current flow are better equipped to set up equipment properly, identify and correct errors, and ensure that therapy is both safe and effective. Education and hands-on practice with these concepts are essential components of clinician training programs and professional certification standards. DC and AC. Direct current, DC, and alternating current, AC, are two foundational types of electrical flow that behave differently and are suited to different clinical and technical applications in biofeedback. Direct current refers to the unidirectional flow of electric charge from negative to positive. In practice, this means electrons flow steadily in one direction, driven by a constant voltage source such as a battery. DC is a characteristic of many biological signals, including skin conductance levels, SCL, skin temperature, and blood volume pulse. These signals vary slowly over time and reflect tonic physiological states, such as general arousal or relaxation. In contrast, alternating current refers to the bidirectional flow of charge, which reverses direction multiple times per second. In the United States, standard AC supplied to buildings reverses at 60 Hz, or 60 times per second. In biofeedback, AC waveforms are observed in signals such as EEG and EMG, which fluctuate rapidly and are used to monitor phasic activity, like cortical arousal or muscle contraction. Understanding the differences between DC and AC has practical implications for instrumentation. For example, DC signals are more susceptible to baseline drift and electrode polarization, both of which can obscure small signal changes. This makes it critical to use high-quality electrodes and stable amplifier inputs for signals like electrodermal activity. AC signals, while less prone to drift, are highly vulnerable to interference from environmental sources like power lines or electronic equipment. Proper shielding and grounding of equipment help mitigate such contamination. Clinicians must be aware that AC artifacts, especially those at 50 or 60 Hz can, closely resemble physiological signals, potentially leading to incorrect interpretations unless filtered or identified correctly. Biofeedback systems often employ specific filters to isolate the desired components of these signals. Low-pass filters are applied to capture slowly changing DC trends, while band-pass filters are used to extract AC frequency bands such as alpha, 812 Hz, beta, 1330 Hz, and gamma, 30-plus Hz, in EEG. Understanding the purpose and limitations of these filters allows practitioners to configure systems for the specific physiological process being measured. For instance, selecting a 1 to 40 Hz bandpass filter in EEG removes DC drift and high-frequency noise, helping to isolate the brain's rhythmic electrical activity. DC and AC characteristics also influence signal representation in software. DC signals appear as smooth, slowly changing lines over time, ideal for displaying skin temperature or respiration trends. AC signals, by contrast, appear as oscillating waveforms that are best visualized in the frequency domain using spectral analysis. Clinicians should be trained to interpret both time domain and frequency domain displays to draw accurate conclusions about client states and training progress. On a hardware level, the distinction determines how amplifiers and analog-to-digital converters, ADCs, process the input. DC-coupled amplifiers retain low frequency and constant components of a signal, but may introduce baseline instability. AC-coupled amplifiers block these components, reducing baseline drift, but potentially eliminating useful DC information. A sophisticated understanding of these trade-offs helps clinicians make informed choices about which amplifier settings or systems to use, depending on the targeted physiology. Finally, safety standards and equipment certifications often vary depending on whether a system handles DC or AC signals. AC-powered systems must comply with stricter shielding and leakage current regulations because of the higher risk of oscillating currents causing tissue damage. By contrast, battery-powered systems that operate on DC offer increased portability and often pose lower electrical risks. Clinicians should always refer to manufacturer specifications and verify compliance with medical safety standards, especially when working with populations vulnerable to electrical exposure, such as pediatric or elderly clients. Mastery of the distinctions between DC and AC is not only technically valuable, but essential for safe and effective clinical practice. Electromotive force, EMF. Electromotive force, EMF, is the energy that initiates and maintains the movement of electric charge through a conductor. Although the term may suggest a force, EMF is actually a measure of energy per unit charge, expressed in volts, V. It represents the electrical potential difference between two points and is generated by sources such as batteries, power supplies, and biological systems like neurons. In practical terms, EMF is the pressure that pushes electrons through a circuit, overcoming resistance to create current. In biofeedback, EMF underlies the functioning of every system component, from the battery-powering portable equipment to the ionic gradients that drive nerve impulses. A basic example of EMF in action is found in a battery-powered flashlight. The battery contains chemically separated positive and negative terminals, and the difference in charge creates a potential difference. When a circuit is completed by flipping the switch, electrons flow from the negative terminal through the bulb and return to the positive terminal, illuminating the light. The voltage rating of the battery, say 1.5 volts, indicates the EMF available to drive this current. In clinical biofeedback systems, EMF operates on a much smaller scale, but with equally important implications. Sensors placed on the skin detect voltage differences across tissues, often in the microvolt range, which reflect underlying physiological activity, such as brain waves or muscle contractions. In the nervous system, EMF results from ion concentration differences across cell membranes. For example, neurons maintain a resting membrane potential of approximately 70 millivolts, primarily due to the uneven distribution of sodium and potassium ions. When a neuron fires, a rapid shift in this membrane potential creates a wave of depolarization, the action potential, that propagates along the axon. This is a natural form of EMF, critical to all bioelectrical signaling. When electrodes are placed on the scalp or skin, they detect these naturally generated EMFs and convert them into electronic signals for analysis and feedback. Understanding EMF is essential for interpreting the amplitude and polarity of recorded signals. For example, during EEG recording, a positive going waveform means that the active electrode is becoming more positive relative to the reference. Changes in EMF due to brain activity, muscle movement, or emotional arousal are what practitioners monitor to provide real-time feedback. Accurate detection of these shifts requires that the EMF not be masked by artifacts or equipment malfunction, highlighting the importance of system calibration and impedance checks. EMF also plays a critical role in safety considerations. In line-powered equipment, excessive EMF due to voltage spikes or static discharge can pose a hazard to clients and equipment. Ground fault interrupters, GFIs, voltage regulators and surge protectors are all designed to manage EMF-related risks. Moreover, systems designed for transcranial direct current stimulation, TDECS, or other neurostimulation modalities intentionally generate small EMFs to modulate neural excitability. In such applications, understanding the precise voltage and current parameters ensures that stimulation remains within therapeutic and safe limits. Clinicians must be familiar with the concept of EMF not only to understand how biofeedback instrumentation functions, but also to appreciate how physiological signals originate and are measured. They should be able to identify whether a lack of signal amplitude reflects a true physiological baseline or a failure in EMF generation or detection. Proper training in this area enhances diagnostic precision and supports effective clinical interventions. Ultimately, electromotive force is the invisible driver behind every recorded and analyzed signal in biofeedback practice. Electromagnetic fields carry energy instead of electrons. The classical view of electricity as a stream of electrons moving through a wire is incomplete and can be misleading when applied to modern clinical instrumentation. In reality, energy transfer in electrical systems often occurs not via electron movement alone, but through the propagation of electromagnetic fields. These fields carry energy through space around a conductor rather than solely through the conductor itself. An electromagnetic field consists of an electric field resulting from a voltage difference and a magnetic field produced by current flow, which oscillate perpendicular to each other and propagate together as a wave. This mechanism explains how energy is rapidly transmitted from power sources to loads, such as from a signal amplifier to a computer interface in a biofeedback system, without requiring electrons to travel the full circuit path instantaneously. This concept has direct implications for both safety and performance in clinical environments. Electromagnetic fields, EMFs, can induce currents in nearby conductors, including electrodes, wires, or even biological tissues, without direct contact. This phenomenon, known as electromagnetic induction, can be harnessed for beneficial purposes, such as wireless data transmission, or avoided through shielding to reduce unwanted signal interference. In EEG systems, for example, ambient EMFs from fluorescent lights, electrical wiring, or cell phones can induce artifacts that mimic or obscure genuine brain activity. Shielded cables and conductive electrode caps help block these external fields, preserving the fidelity of the physiological signal. Understanding that EMFs, not electrons per se, are the primary medium of energy transfer also informs how we conceptualize signal latency and transmission efficiency. In biofeedback setups using wireless telemetry, data packets are sent via modulated electromagnetic waves, which travel at nearly the speed of light. This enables real-time monitoring of physiological signals without the need for physical wiring, enhancing patient comfort and reducing movement-related artifacts. However, it also necessitates careful planning of sensor placement, orientation, and system calibration to ensure consistent and artifact-free transmission. Clinicians should also be aware that EMFs generated by medical devices, even those not in use for biofeedback, may interfere with sensitive physiological recording equipment. Devices such as MRI scanners, defibrillators, or even dental drills can produce transient or sustained EMFs that affect nearby systems. Understanding field interactions allows clinicians to schedule sessions appropriately and configure their clinic environment to avoid or mitigate interference. For example, placing mobile phones and power supplies at a sufficient distance from the recording area can significantly reduce background noise in EMG or EEG signals. From a regulatory and safety standpoint, electromagnetic compatibility, EMC standards, dictate how much EMF a medical device can emit and how resistant it must be to incoming fields. Biofeedback practitioners should ensure that all their equipment complies with IEC 60601 or equivalent standards for medical electrical devices. Non-compliant systems may fail to detect low-amplitude physiological signals or even pose risks by transmitting spurious voltages to the patient. Training programs should include instruction on recognizing EMF-related artifacts and applying appropriate filtering or shielding techniques. Finally, appreciating the role of electromagnetic fields deepens a clinician's ability to interpret signal integrity and assess system function. For instance, if an EEG signal displays periodic high-frequency noise and physical leads are intact, the likely cause is EMF interference rather than electrode failure. Knowing how to isolate, eliminate, or compensate for these effects ensures high-quality data acquisition and effective therapeutic outcomes. As digital and wireless biofeedback technologies become more prevalent, mastery of electromagnetic principles will be increasingly essential to safe, accurate, and innovative clinical practice. Voltage. Voltage, also referred to as electric potential difference or electromotive force, is the measure of energy available to push electric charge through a circuit. It is expressed in volts and represents the potential energy per unit charge between two points. In practical terms, voltage can be thought of as the pressure that drives electrons or ions through a conductor, enabling current to flow. In biofeedback systems, voltage is the central quantity being measured, amplified, and analyzed. For instance, the microvolt level fluctuations recorded in an EEG or EMG session reflect voltage differences generated by neural or muscular activity. These small voltages are captured via electrodes and converted into digital signals for real-time display and feedback. Clinically, understanding voltage is essential for selecting and configuring instrumentation. Different physiological signals vary in amplitude. EEG signals typically range from 10 to 100 microvolts, whereas EMG signals can be several millivolts in strength. Electrodermal activity, EDA, may range in the tens or hundreds of microvolts, while respiration sensors and temperature sensors detect signals with broader amplitude swings. Because of this, biofeedback systems must be capable of handling a wide range of voltages without distortion or loss of sensitivity. Amplifiers with adjustable gain settings help clinicians match the voltage scale to the expected signal amplitude, ensuring optimal visualization and feedback delivery. The importance of voltage also extends to the physiological basis of signal generation. In neurons, voltage differences across cell membranes result from ion concentration gradients maintained by active transport mechanisms, such as the sodium-potassium pump. When a neuron depolarizes, a rapid change in membrane voltage creates an action potential that travels along the axon. This change in voltage propagates through tissue and is eventually detected by scalp electrodes during EEG recording. Similarly, in muscle tissue, action potentials trigger contraction through voltage-sensitive channels. The summed electrical activity of multiple motor units produces surface EMG signals, which are essentially voltage changes over time. Voltage measurement is not only critical for signal acquisition, but also for quality control and safety. Excessively high voltages, whether from environmental sources or equipment malfunction, can introduce noise or even cause damage to sensitive electronics and harm to the client. Biofeedback equipment must therefore be tested for voltage safety compliance and configured to isolate client interfaces from hazardous voltages. Additionally, clinical users must be able to distinguish between physiological voltages and spurious voltages resulting from artifacts such as cable movement, power line interference, or electrostatic discharge. Voltage plays a direct role in digital signal processing and data interpretation. Once analog voltage signals are captured, they are sampled at regular intervals and digitized for analysis. The resolution of this process depends on bit depth, which determines how finely voltage levels are distinguished in digital form. Higher bit depths allow for more precise representation of small voltage differences, which is particularly important in low amplitude signals such as EEG. Clinicians using systems with 24-bit resolution, for example, benefit from enhanced signal clarity and reduced quantization error, improving diagnostic and therapeutic accuracy. Lastly, voltage can serve as a metric for protocol design and outcome evaluation. In neurofeedback, thresholds for reward or inhibition are often set based on amplitude criteria, which are derived from voltage values within specific frequency bands. For example, a training protocol might reinforce when theta voltage falls below 4 microvolts, while beta exceeds 8 microvolts. Therefore, clinicians must understand voltage not only as a physical quantity, but also as a functional parameter in feedback-based interventions. Mastery of voltage concepts enhances equipment use, improves interpretation of physiological data, and contributes to the safe and effective delivery of biofeedback therapies. Watts. Watts are the standard unit for measuring electrical power, representing the rate at which electrical energy is transferred or consumed in a circuit. 1 watt, W, is defined as 1 joule of energy transferred per second, and mathematically is the product of voltage, V, and current, A, W-E's, V-X-A. In biofeedback and neurofeedback systems, the power measured in watts reflects the energy required to operate amplifiers, sensors, and digital processing units. Although most physiological signals themselves involve extremely low power, on the order of microwatts or nanowatts, understanding how wattage applies to system components helps clinicians optimize equipment performance, ensure safe operation, and interpret quantitative signal data. In clinical practice, wattage becomes especially important when distinguishing between passive recording systems and active stimulation systems. Passive systems like EEG or EMG recording devices require minimal power and are designed to detect and amplify naturally occurring voltages. In contrast, systems used for transcranial stimulation, TDCS or RTMS, actively deliver electrical or magnetic energy to the client. In these cases, the device's wattage determines the amount of energy delivered and must be carefully controlled to avoid tissue heating or adverse neurological effects. Clinicians must always review manufacturer specifications to confirm that operational wattage remains within safe and effective limits. Watts are also relevant when evaluating power consumption and battery life in portable biofeedback systems. Devices such as wearable heart rate monitors, wireless EEG headsets, or respiration belts are typically powered by lithium-ion batteries rated in watt-hours, WH, indicating the total energy available before recharging is required. A device that draws 2 watts of power from a 10-watt-hour battery would theoretically operate for 5 hours. Clinicians using mobile setups must understand these calculations to plan session durations effectively and ensure reliable signal acquisition throughout the training period. On the signal side, power measurements are often expressed in derived units such as microwatts per frequency band in a quantitative EEG, QEEG context. For example, the spectral power of alpha activity might be calculated as the average energy within the 8 to 12 Hz frequency range, expressed in picowatts. These power metrics help clinicians identify patterns associated with cognitive states, neuropsychiatric conditions, or therapeutic changes over time. A reduction in beta power, for instance, may suggest relaxation or reduced anxiety, while increased theta power may indicate drowsiness or inattention. Understanding how to interpret these watt-based indices is essential for tailoring neurofeedback protocols to individual client needs. Wattage also plays a role in system efficiency and heat management. Electrical devices inevitably convert some portion of power into heat, particularly in amplifiers, analog-to-digital converters, and signal processors. In clinical equipment, even small heat increases can alter signal integrity or client comfort. For instance, an EEG amplifier that overheats may generate electrical noise or drift, degrading the signal-to-noise ratio. Therefore, clinicians and technicians should be trained to recognize when power-related thermal output might be interfering with data quality and take corrective steps such as improving ventilation or replacing aging hardware. Finally, watts are an important parameter for regulatory compliance and equipment safety labeling. Medical devices are tested for maximum power output to determine safe usage scenarios. Exceeding wattage ratings, whether through improper configuration or device malfunction, can void warranties and expose clients to potential harm. In selecting new biofeedback systems or components, clinicians should compare wattage specifications, particularly in systems used for high-frequency sampling or intensive signal processing, where power demands are greater. In sum, while often overlooked in favor of voltage and current, watts encapsulate the complete picture of energy flow and utilization in biofeedback systems and are indispensable for ensuring therapeutic precision and operational safety. Resistance. Resistance is a measure of how much a material or component opposes the flow of electric current, and it is expressed in ohms. In direct current DC circuits, resistance represents the physical and chemical properties of a conductor that impede the movement of electrons. This concept is central to both electrical engineering and clinical electrophysiology. All materials exhibit some degree of resistance. However, good conductors like copper and silver offer low resistance, whereas insulators like rubber or dry human skin have high resistance. In biofeedback, understanding resistance is crucial for optimizing signal acquisition, maintaining client safety, and interpreting physiological signals correctly. In practical clinical settings, resistance primarily concerns the interface between the electrode and the skin. The stratum corneum, the outermost layer of skin, naturally exhibits high resistance, which can significantly attenuate bioelectrical signals. To overcome this, clinicians prepare the skin by cleaning, abrading, and applying conductive gel or paste, which reduces resistance and allows the low-voltage physiological signals to be transmitted with minimal distortion. For example, in EEG or EMG recordings, even small increases in skin resistance can lead to signal degradation, making it difficult to distinguish between true physiological activity and noise. Therefore, keeping skin electrode resistance low and consistent is one of the most important factors in ensuring high-quality recordings. Beyond electrode placement, resistance is also a factor within the internal circuits of biofeedback systems. Resistors are components specifically designed to provide precise resistance in order to control current flow, divide voltages, and protect sensitive electronic components from overload. These internal resistors help stabilize the performance of amplifiers, filters, and analog-to-digital converters. Clinicians may not interact directly with these components, but an understanding of how resistance affects system behavior supports better communication with technical support staff and enhances troubleshooting capabilities when irregular signals are observed. Resistance can also provide useful psychophysiological information. For example, skin resistance level, SRL, is a valuable index of sympathetic nervous system activity. A decrease in SRL typically indicates increased sweat gland activity, which correlates with emotional arousal or cognitive effort. Biofeedback systems designed to measure electrodermal activity, EDA, often present this data as resistance in kiloohms or its reciprocal conductance in microsiemens. Clinicians should be comfortable interpreting SRL trends and understanding their implications in stress management, relaxation training, or exposure therapy. Environmental and procedural factors also influence resistance. Humidity, temperature, and even the client's hydration level can alter skin resistance and affect measurement accuracy. Equipment aging, such as oxidation on electrode surfaces or wear in sensor cables, can introduce additional resistance, which may not be immediately obvious, but can significantly impact performance. Regular calibration, inspection, and replacement of consumables help mitigate these issues and maintain system reliability. Moreover, understanding how resistance interacts with other circuit elements, such as capacitance and inductance in AC systems, helps prevent misinterpretation of phase-shifted or distorted signals. Lastly, resistance plays a critical safety role. High resistance at an electrode site can cause localized heating if current is inadvertently passed through the circuit, as might happen with faulty grounding or during the use of stimulation devices. In extreme cases, this can lead to skin burns or equipment failure. Clinicians must verify that resistance levels fall within acceptable thresholds, typically below 5,000 ohms for research-grade EEG and below 20,000 ohms for routine clinical work. Most systems now include built-in impedance testing, which indirectly measures resistance between electrode pairs to alert users to problematic contacts. In sum, resistance is a fundamental concept in clinical electrophysiology, affecting everything from signal integrity to client safety, and must be managed with careful attention throughout every stage of a biofeedback session. Conductance. Conductance is the reciprocal of resistance and reflects how easily electric current flows through a material or circuit. It is measured in siemens, with smaller units such as microsiemens commonly used in physiological applications. Where resistance quantifies opposition to current, conductance quantifies the facility with which current can pass. In biofeedback, especially in electrodermal activity, EDA monitoring, conductance is often preferred over resistance because it directly corresponds to the activity of eccrine sweat glands and provides a sensitive index of sympathetic nervous system arousal. High conductance values suggest increased moisture on the skin surface, often due to emotional or cognitive activation, whereas low conductance indicates drier skin and a more relaxed or neutral state. Clinicians often monitor conductance in real time during stress management or relaxation training protocols. For example, a client may be instructed to use diaphragmatic breathing techniques to reduce physiological arousal. A corresponding decrease in skin conductance would confirm the intervention's effectiveness. Conductance levels are typically measured using two electrodes placed on the palmar or plantar surfaces, which are richly innervated by sympathetic fibers. An alternating or direct voltage is applied across the electrodes, and the resulting current is used to calculate conductance. These values are graphed in real time, allowing the client and clinician to observe how internal states influence peripheral physiology. Understanding conductance also assists in interpreting trends and differentiating between tonic and phasic changes. Tonic skin conductance level, SCL, reflects the baseline activity of the sympathetic system, while phasic changes, skin conductance responses, SCRs, occur in response to discrete stimuli such as thoughts, sounds, or visual cues. Clinicians should be skilled at distinguishing between the two and recognizing artifact introduced by movement, ambient temperature changes, or sensor displacement. For example, a sudden spike in conductance without a corresponding psychological trigger may suggest that the client shifted posture or adjusted the sensors. Conductance is also a valuable metric in clinical assessments of disorders involving dysregulated autonomic function, such as anxiety, PTSD, or chronic pain. Abnormally elevated baseline conductance or exaggerated SCRs may point to heightened sympathetic tone, which can inform diagnosis or treatment planning. Conversely, blunted responses may indicate hypoarousal or parasympathetic dominance. These interpretations must always be contextualized within the client's history, current state, and treatment goals, but they provide a quantifiable window into autonomic nervous system function. The use of conductance extends into hardware design and circuit diagnostics. Engineers rely on conductance measurements to test sensor integrity, cable continuity, and amplifier input characteristics. A dramatic drop in conductance at a sensor interface might suggest a break in the cable, loss of skin contact, or drying of conductive gel. In these cases, clinicians can rapidly identify and correct the issue without interrupting the session. Moreover, modern systems often include automated conductance checking features to ensure real-time signal fidelity and sensor stability. Clinically, training in conductance concepts enhances a practitioner's ability to deliver targeted, responsive interventions. Whether used for performance enhancement, emotional self-regulation, or the treatment of clinical conditions, conductance feedback allows for immediate insight into autonomic functioning and its modulation. This makes it an essential metric in the broader toolkit of biofeedback modalities, tightly linked to both theoretical understanding and practical therapeutic application.